everybody. This is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
Welcome to your Cheap Date Show for November 10th, 2007. On this week's show,
it's a litany of complaints.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Let's do nothing but complain, shall we?
Well, first of all.
What? Yeah.
You know what?
Look, you. I got.
I'll tell you
hey,
what.
Hey, you.
It's like going to be like pushing a boulder off a cliff. I wouldn't if I were you.
Oh, it's one of those days.
Don't think you can reel it back in.
Moods. Welcome back, everybody, to the Cheap Date Show. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're one of the listeners who's heard this nonsense before, welcome back. Because some things just don't change now, do they?
Wow, that said it all.
So, let's talk about why we're talking about complaints. We had a very unique experience the other night.
We did have a very unique experience. We went into the city to hang with some city friends, and we saw the Chicago Complaints Choir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Chicago Complaints Choir is not... Well, they're doing a few performances. It's not an ongoing thing, but this is a concept... It's a performance art.
There you go.
It's a choir that comes together for one particular performance, maybe repeated two or three times in different places, and then dissolves again, because otherwise who would want to be like a lifetime member of the Complaints Choir?
Well, it's
well,
a piece.
I can think of half a dozen people instantly.
just by default are.
But
the whole concept started in Finland. It was a husband and wife team, Oliver Kochta Kalainen and Talervo Kalainen. I guess they have the same last name.
And apparently in Finnish, there is an expression, valituskoro.
Oh, very good.
Which means complaints choir.
Right. Or a group of bellyachers.
It's one of those words.
You're just, well, you know what? You're just a bunch of bellyachers.
Well, but I get the impression that it translates literally complaints choir. Sort of like... Well, it's one of those words that we don't have or idioms we don't have.
Sure.
Is that an idiom?
It's a word. It's a something.
Anyway.
I'll take it.
This husband and wife team thought, maybe we should have a complaints choir, like form a choir and sing our complaints.
About things. Right. Things that just we want to kvetch about.
Which is, what would that be like in English? We should have thought about this before the show, but is there an English equivalent of something that... We don't mean literally, but if you did mean it literally, it would be hilarious.
I don't know.
You're staring at me blankly.
You're the linguistics person. I don't know.
There must be.
I only use words. I don't analyze them. I just throw them out there. They don't even stop at my brain. They just come right. Sorry.
It's just a flow. Well, anyway.
So the point is that this couple in Finland did it. They started doing it. And now it's an international phenomenon. It's a phenomenon.
Well, everybody complains. It started in Europe, in Finland, of course, and then Hungary, Germany, England.
Russia, St. Petersburg.
Hong Kong.
Melbourne, Australia, Budapest, Jerusalem. I could tell you a few things.
And now it's... Now it is an international phenomenon.
So this past weekend, they appeared at the Museum of Contemporary Art... And then in the afternoon, and then in the evening, we were at the Empty Bottle. They performed there, and it was great. They actually did two performances. So what they do is it's a group of people. They're all from all different walks of life. Our buddy Jim and I were at the bar, and one of the people who were in the choir came up, and we were talking to her, and she said, she works in an office, and she decided to do this just for fun. She saw a write-up about this in The Onion, and she decided to join up with the group who was doing this. And so she's one of the people who was up on stage doing this. And there were how many people in this group, would you say?
Like 50? It was hard to say because I couldn't see the front few rows.
Right. The Empty Bottle is a smallish club up on Western Avenue. And there's a stage in the corner. But the people were on the stage and off the stage as well. And there were people from all different ages. There were kids there.
There were literally two people with babies mm-hmm. in like slings.
So... They got up and actually before the show, they handed out the lyrics of what their complaints were going to be. And it was very nice. It was very well done. It was sung just like a choir. Imagine that.
Yeah, there were altos and sopranos and tenors. Mm-hmm.
So their complaints consist of everything about, what do we want to say? Window washers appear outside my bathroom. My damn boss outsourced my job. What was the one about the CTA? There was a lot of CTA stuff in here.
Portions are too big. I'm always hungry. My sideways kitchen bakes lopsided cakes. Clothes I can afford are made in sweatshops.
Why don't boy bands play any instruments?
And then some were city specific, like only tourists like deep dish pizza.
Yeah, ouch. That's a good point.
Oh, when someone rides free, we all pay. Mm-hmm. That's a CTA bus thing. I don't know if they do it on the L trains. My dead grandma always votes for the wrong candidate. Yeah, that's a good one. And then, of course, CTA. I mean, there's just the chorus, CTA. If you need more explanation than just the letters CTA, you are not from Chicago, or you are not a true Chicagoan, you have nothing to complain about.
There you go.
Unless you depend on that organization for your daily transportation, and you are here living it as the days get progressively colder and the service gets ever less reliable.
Mm-hmm. And there's constantly threats that they're going to shut down.
You do not belong on a stage complaining about anything.
Men wrap around the pole on the L train like strippers.
That is really true.
And what was my favorite one? My favorite line was about the buses. Buses bunch up worse than granny's panties. Why are all the single men insane? I know some of you in the audience are like, okay, ladies. Hey, okay.
Ouch. So
that's the complaints choir. They do appear in all different kinds of places. They have a website which is for all of your cities. Perhaps they're in a city near you.
And if they're not, you can start one.
You can. Just go to complaintschoir.org, and we'll put a link in the show notes for that. So enjoy. And that was very cool.
I would also like to give a hearty thumbs up to the Empty Bottle. We had to vacate because they were having another show, and I think we're charging another door for it. Mm-hmm. We're going back.
Yeah. It's a good place. A lot of bands play there. A lot of bands that have hit it big have played there.
But it's little and cozy and...
It's EmptyBottle.com, and they're at 1035 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. So after we complained and had a few red stripes and... whatever, we decided to head out for a different kind of dining experience. Would you say?
Well, yeah. It wasn't like, I mean, it was just it was a restaurant still, but...
It was a very small restaurant.
It was a very small restaurant, and apparently a very highly rated restaurant, but not a place that really sticks out from the street.
That's true. It's Irazu Costa Rican Restaurant, which is at 1865 North Milwaukee Avenue. It's at the corner of Milwaukee, Western, and Armitage, with those three right off the Western Blue Line L stop.
I did not know that.
CTA.
I don't even remember how we got there.
Jim drove.
I was out of my element, and it was dark, so I didn't know where we were.
There you go. Irazu is in a small... It looks like it was maybe like a Subway restaurant or something, maybe a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah.
It was very small, but oh man, the food to die for. Let's talk about the food, shall we? Well, first of all, it's a BYO place.
Right. So first of all, we had to walk over to, well, we had the privilege of walking over to the liquor store to pick up some... Pacifico.
Right.
Which is a pretty standard, I don't know if you'd find it in the grocery store, but it's a pretty standard Mexican grocery or liquor store.
Type of beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
From where?
Mexico.
So we got some Pacifico, took it back, and they were extremely busy, but we did finally get a table shortly after closing time, which wound up catching up with us, but...
That said.
In the meantime, I enjoyed... Okay, I ordered very safe because having had no dinner and then a few beers, I was really full.
And having complained for a while, having listened to 20 minutes of complaints.
My soul was nourished.
That's beautiful, man.
I got the vegetarian burrito. Black beans, yellow rice, lettuce, tomato, avocado, cheese, sour cream, hot peppers, and mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very good. Not as good the next day. To be honest.
But really?
Yeah, afraid so. At this Costa Rican place, they had a lot of things. What do they call that? Mojo? It's spelled mojo.
Yeah.
And it's like a garlic oil. The mushrooms, I think, were sautéed in the garlic oil. What did you have?
I had, and actually Julie, one of our other dining companions, had the casado, which is an authentic favorite of Irasu. This is, you choose from either thin ribeye steak or chicken breast, caramelized with onions, served with white rice, black beans, sweet plantains.
Wait, and get this.
An over easy egg, which was sitting on top of the rice. And that was really cool.
Set in front of you, and I was like,
is that an egg?
What did you order?
But it was an over easy egg. And it was perfectly done. It was almost as good as one of my over easy eggs.
Wow.
And a cabbage salad. This was really good. I had it with chicken. Julie had it with steak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delicious. It was very hearty. And here's the thing about the food. I don't know if you noticed this, but like in the rice, there was something sweet. I don't know if it was mango or something was in the rice that made it a little bit more Caribbean-y as opposed to more traditional Mexican.
You know, I feel like I missed out with my vegetarian burrito. I mean, it was good, but it was not as interesting as that.
Now, the other thing that they tell you to order is there's a Costa Rican breakfast dish called gallo pinto, which is white rice mixed with whole black beans, and then
it's leftover, then reheated.
It's sort of like it's what they make for breakfast, similar to what
like
we were talking.
Fried rice kind. I know that fried rice is typically a leftover dish,
right?
Because you have to kind of let the rice sit for a day.
So they tell you to order it with that, but they were out by the time we sat down. But man, that was a really filling, delicious meal. Jim had the bistec taco, which is a ribeye steak sauteed with onions, bell peppers, tomato, served with white rice, black beans, sweet plantains, and cabbage salad. Can I just also say that I'm really into the whole sweet plantain thing?
Oh my gosh, they're the best.
So all very, very good stuff. The menu is pretty extensive as well. If you go off of that, they have all kinds of sandwiches. They have a steak sandwich. They have a breaded steak sandwich called a milanesa. They have a ribeye steak sandwich. They have a vegetarian sandwich. Black beans, cheese, lettuce, tomato, avocado, and Lisano sauce, which is one of the salsas that they have. They have a little bottle of it on the table, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of spicy. They have yuca topped with mojo.
We do love yuca.
We do, as we learned from our trip up to La Granja.
A starchy root related to the potato. It's kind of like a sweet potato, right?
It kind of is, but not as sweet as a sweet potato.
Tinted squid mixed with rice. Oh, yeah.
That was a band I was in college, too. The Tinted Squid. They also serve breakfast as well. So you can get your huevos rancheros, your huevos con chorizo. I'm getting really, really hungry right now.
Yeah, no kidding. They also have, I wish I had noticed this, ceviche. The thing with ceviche is, well, I can't endorse this particular ceviche because I didn't try it, but ceviche is an awesome dish. It's white fish, or I've done it with shrimp. I guess you could do it with crab, but I'm not sure crab would really work.
You've made ceviche before. In fact, you've talked about it on the show.
Oh, I have?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I won't bore the listeners.
No, you're not boring.
It's fish marinated in lime and or lemon juice and other spices. The acid in the citrus juice actually cooks the fish if you let it sit long enough. Now, my ceviche is kind of faux. I cook the shrimp first because I wouldn't risk. Well, because if you want to cook the shrimp in the juice, it takes like 24 hours. And the idea of letting shrimp sit in lime juice for 24 hours and cook, quote unquote, just a little creepy. But you can also just cook the shrimp and then marinate it for a couple hours.
The next time we go there, perhaps we'll try the ceviche.
But I would love to try the authentic stuff handled by professionals.
We didn't have dessert. They have flan. They have a bunch of other things as well. And then they also have a shake, which is called...
Yeah, we didn't have dessert because we got kicked out.
Exactly. They have this Avena. It's called Avena Shake, and it's oatmeal.
Like Aveeno bath?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it was related to that.
There's a root word.
Here we go. Linguistics.
Look at the shakes. They have tamarind, cornmeal.
Blackberry, strawberry.
Passion fruit.
Soursop.
What's soursop?
Guanabana.
We need to go back to this place.
Yeah, we'll be heading back to it. But let's just say that our first time around there was...
Yeah, well, like I said, we got seated after they put up the closed sign. There were still a ton of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, we took the longest to eat. So all of a sudden, as we were trying to divide up our bill,
turned over next to us.
Yeah.
All right, people. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Let's go. Come on. No, they didn't do that. They were actually very nice to us. And then when I asked for a menu, they said, yeah. And when I asked for a menu, they handed me a business card and said, it's online. Okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Urasu's been around since 1990. And when you go there, we got there at about, what time was it? Like 9:30 or so?
Well, it says they close at 9.
Okay.
And we got there maybe like a quarter till.
Okay. We gave our name. We wound up waiting about a half hour, but they had our name in the list and they took us. So that was good. And everything on the menu is really reasonable. The casado that I had was $9.95. Your veggie burrito was really cheap, and most of the things are either 12 or under. So you can check out Urasu Costa Rican Restaurant. They're at 1865 North Milwaukee Avenue, the corner of Milwaukee, Western, and Armitage. It is BYO. Feel free to head up and bring whatever drinkage you want to have or try the shakes. They also have coffee, tea, canned soda, and all the other good stuff that you would expect at a place like that as well.
Get there early.
Okay, so we've complained, we've talked about Costa Rica or Costa Rican dining. You know, Jim and Julie have been to Costa Rica. We heard all kinds of stories about their time up there, or down there, I guess it would be.
It sounds fabulous.
I think we might be going sometime soon.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We have a couple of...
Can we use student loan money for that?
Oh, sure.
Is that illegal or something?
Did I ever tell you about the guy... worked with in high, I was in high school, and then he got a grant. He got all these grants, and he took one of his grants and he bought a statue with it. A grant for
a
college.
Statue?
He bought a statue.
Oh, of all the things to buy with your grant money.
I know. Bought a statue. Hey, last time we did a show, we talked about the Oberweis Bug Guts Sunday. I had the opportunity of picking up one of these, and it was...
And?
It was okay.
I know you don't like to say negative things on the show, but... It was gross.
Well, for you, it was okay. Here's the thing. It's vanilla soft serve. It's a sundae. It's a little cup. And it comes with a cute little cow spoon.
You're clearly obsessed with cow spoon. You could probably just ask and they would give you a cow spoon, Joe.
Vanilla soft serve ice cream, hot fudge, whipped cream, crushed M&Ms. So far, so good.
Yeah. Oh, so far, I'm right there with you.
Then there's this bug gut sauce, which is this greenish stuff. And I thought... And actually, Rebecca called it. She said, oh, is it like melted gummy worms? And it was like, no, it was more like it was a...
Well, they told you what it was. Key lime.
Key lime. But it's a sour key lime. It was like a warhead type of thing. So when you tasted it, it was like a little ice cream sundae with crushed M&Ms in it and whipped cream. But then it had this really sour, citrusy flavor on top of it.
I thought it would be sweet. I figured it would be like green corn syrup or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, basically that, or a green-colored chocolate. It's something I can see kids liking, because, like, when Beck said, is it gummy bears, I think she said, well, she made some sort of approving noise, some sort of yum. I don't get that, but for some reason, kids like to put really sugary, sometimes sour stuff on their ice cream. I think it's really weird, but kids dig it. I used to work at an ice cream shop, and kids would ask for the weirdest... I mean, gum. Who would put gumballs on ice cream?
Well, they do it.
That just strikes me as bizarre. Or sweet tarts or nerds. Not mm-hmm. sweet tarts, but yeah, nerds. So, I will say kids might like it, but in my opinion, it was just nasty.
Okay. Well, it was good. So, for next year,
we
know.
So, for the adults in the audience...
Get it for your kids. Of course, then they'll be bouncing off the wall because they'll be totally sugared up.
Get them a nice banana or something.
Or raisins.
Raisins are nature's candy.
And then nachos Flanders style.
You know how I feel about raisins.
Yes, they have more sugar than sugar.
They have as much sugar as like M&Ms.
They do.
I mean, it's more nutritious for sure, but they do have a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. So enjoy that. And now we're heading into the holiday season, so there's going to be more stuff cooking up. I made some apple squares last week.
Oh, man.
I'm going to adjust the recipe, and we'll have a full report on this coming in the coming weeks. Because They were good, but there are a couple things that I want to try for this. But it was fresh ground cinnamon. I was in the kitchen for 15 minutes with a little scraper, with a little...
zester.
The zester, and I had the sticks of cinnamon going... But I think they turned out pretty well.
They did.
But there's some tuning that's going to happen, and we'll get those going.
Okay.
You'll enjoy those. The other thing that I want to talk about, and this weekend, we are big fans of, as we've mentioned before on the show, we're big fans of the Music Box Theater. We saw the Leonard Cohen movie there. We saw the sing-along Grease there with the kids, which was a lot of fun. We've seen various midnight movies there. It's a lot of fun. Starting this weekend, they are showing a documentary by Julian Temple, who's done a lot of movies about 80s bands, a movie called Joe Strummer, The Future is Unwritten, about Joe Strummer from The Clash. I had the opportunity of seeing this movie earlier this week. And it opens this weekend, and it's really good. If you're a fan of 80s music, particularly things in more of the punk realm, you'll appreciate this movie. They have a lot of great archival footage of Joe and the other guys in The Clash, and then other bands who were involved, and they talk to these people. And they also talk to some of the celebrities who have also crossed paths with... What he tried to do, what Julian Temple tried to do, was he wanted to make sure the focus of the film was not so much on the people he was interviewing, but on the subject of Joe Strummer, his life growing up. And they had him telling his story in retrospect, and they had archival film and stuff like that. So when they're, but when they're interviewing people, when they're so they had contemporary interviews with people sitting around a fire, of all things, and they didn't,
of all things,
I don't know, they're all sitting around a campfire, and these people were talking about their memories of him. But you know how in most documentaries, when people are talking, they'll have their name show up underneath it, you know, Johnny Depp,
and a line about why that person is,
exactly,
is on a documentary.
For example, Steve, Lisa's granddad, the voice of reason. A little bit of exposition there.
That's right.
They didn't do any of that in this movie. So these people are talking, and unless you recognize them by sight, you didn't know who they were. So Anthony and Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so you recognize them. They were there. Martin Scorsese, Steve Buscemi was in a movie with Joe Strummer. So you have all these people. But then there are all these other people who are talking, and you have no context for who they are.
Then they could be somebody really important.
Well, and that's my point. So at one point, I'm watching the movie, and there's this guy, this rather stout, middle-aged Englishman, who's saying, you know, we heard that they were going to be playing at a club, and so we decided, we all got together, and we went down, and we saw them up on stage, and they were just great, and it really made us reconsider what we were doing, you know? And I thought, okay, it's some musician, and he saw them, and it made them reconsider. It turns out it was Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols. So I'm watching it. I'm seeing this middle-aged, paunchy British guy, and he's saying that. But it's kind of important that you're doing a movie about a punk band, and then somebody from the Sex Pistols says that he saw another band playing, and it changed what they were doing. It would kind of have a little bit more impact if they had said, oh, by the way, that's Steve Jones.
Yeah, well, otherwise it's just some bloke, right?
And the only reason I found out about that is that on the DVD, which one of the guys I work with actually got a copy of, they had an extra, like an outtake reel of additional interviews, and they put captions under who they were in the extras, but not in the movie itself, just in the extras.
I think I saw that guy. I figured it was like his cousin.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Or something.
So if you go to see the movie, be warned. It's a great movie. Go see it. Be warned. And then now I'm on to my final
rant.
Bring
your punk rock picture dictionary.
That's right. Well, you can't even imagine. Steve Jones doesn't look anything like he did 25 years ago, certainly. I'm like, who is this old guy? And then I look in the mirror and I said the same thing. But that's another story.
Baha!
And the Music Box Theater, which is located at 3733 North Southport in Chicago. We mentioned this before on the show. And also, if you go to see The Future is Unwritten on November 16th at 7 p.m., if you're a fan of Sound Opinions on public radio, and they also have a podcast at Sound Opinions, they're doing a special presentation on November 16th at 7 o'clock with Greg Kot and Jim DeRogatis. They're going to be appearing there and taking questions either before, actually, I guess it's after the show, Q&A session with Jim and Greg. And you can get more information on that by visiting soundopinions.org. The other thing that I would like to say, and this is all I'm going to say for the rest of the evening, is that I will write a check for $25. No, I'll give cash. I will give $25 cash.
Because Lord knows your checks can't be trusted.
That's right. To any documentary filmmaker who can make a movie about a pop icon and not interview Bono.
Joe, I think you might have to put up more than $25 for that.
Don't want to see Bono anymore.
We got really irritated during the Leonard Cohen movie because I don't think you two knew anything about Leonard.
No.
Prior
clearly
to that.
Not.
They like gave him a CD and were like, all right, we're taping tomorrow. Take this home and listen to it. And they came back and they just said, let's not go into detail, but they said some really inane things.
They really did.
I think. And I don't know anything about Joe Strummer, really, or what Bono had to say about him.
I'll tell you what he had to say about him. He's outraged. Bono is outraged that the Clash are not around today. He didn't use the word outraged, to use another term, but he's very upset that they're not around today.
I snicker because if they were still around today, they'd be you too.
Well, I don't know about that.
They'd be a tired, washed-up band that used to be cool.
Them's fighting words, kiddo.
All I'm saying is some bands go away because they can't last forever.
Right.
What does that even mean? They should be here today.
It's better to burn out than to fade away. My, my. Hey, hey. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
And scene.
All right, everybody. That's lunch.
Can we please go now?
Okay. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cheap Date Show.
We sure did.
We did. We had a good time. We are going to be starting to talk more about holiday stuff as we come up. If you have any ideas of things for holidays that you'd like to share with our audience, by all means, let us know. And if you have any other comments or anything, or if you've seen or have been involved or thinking about doing a complaint choir or any of these other things, by all means, let us know. We want to know here at the Cheap Date Show.
Joe has complaints if you're looking for suggestions.
That's right. But if people do want to get a hold of us, Lisa, how would they do that?
Oh, I always tell them. You tell it.
Okay. You can send an email, and it's a very simple thing. It's like it flies through the air, as our next door neighbor says. The stuff just flies through the air, and it lands right here. Dish@cheapdateshow.com is our email address.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to leave a voicemail for us, you can leave us a little note at 206-203-3283. That spells date.
Get it.
And there's other ways of contacting us as well, and you can go to the website at cheapdateshow.com and check it out and let us know what you think. Oh, and we're going to have another Discover Woodfield episode coming up. We're heading out for another adventure next weekend. And probably the week following, another show will be coming up. So check that out at discoverwoodfield.com.
Mm-hmm.
Did we cover all the bases? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Email, voicemail, Discover Woodfield. We're good.
That's right. So I guess that means that we'll talk to all of you in a fortnight.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at CheapDateMedia.com.
Alan Brady, Alan Brady, Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Buddy Sherrill.